But wasn't everybody who would call her, put her in the respectable crowd. So that this is merely a story, a bold and a rather ticklish story that serves the purpose of all these elements in the birth of Jesus to give it a remarkable place. I don't know of any story elsewhere in folklore quite like it. Because the other stories I know are mostly of mixed marriages between the gods and women, but this is not that. God is not in loco parentis along with Mary. No, God, as the God who works miracles, sees to it that the birth takes place without any paternal element at all, which is within the possible role of a miracle-working God. Now, I know that many people read it differently, and the very fact that the term Son of God, in a quite different sense, was commonly used of Jesus, has made it very easy for people to confuse this miracle with a title in a quite different sort. There are other ways in which God can have a son. One of them I've already mentioned. He can adopt a son. I want to stop in a moment, and therefore I'll pass up entirely the next item that you have to make some comments. The next item I was going to raise was whether Jesus' beginning was not before his birth. In other words, whether he wasn't a pre-existent person, unlike most people, or unless you believe in the transmigration of souls in general. Didn't the early Christians come in time, and I think the answer is quite certainly yes, to believe that not merely at the resurrection, as Paul says, and not merely at the baptism, as Mark seems to say, and not merely at birth, as Matthew and Luke seem to say, but way back behind that, Jesus was. The fourth gospel says, before Abraham was, I am. And in the more familiar verse, in the beginning was the Word, and that means creation time. I'm pretty sure that that became current. I'm sure that Paul believed it even. So that although Paul says in one place he was declared at the resurrection, Paul says that he was from the beginning. You get passage in Colossians, and it's implied in such a passage as, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but humbled himself. When did he do that? Before he became a man. So that a pre-incarnation existence of Jesus is one of the distant ways in which they read his beginnings back. And according to Paul, he was in the creation. As John said in another passage, nothing was made without him. Everything was made through him, says Paul. And then he came to earth, put off all his glory, lived for a time in complete humiliation. Though he was rich, he became poor. He emptied himself. And then, after his earthly life was over, after the resurrection, and until the future day when he will be revealed again, he's back where he was before, in a place of glory, and with glory still to come. Well, you see what I said before. The early Christians thought about this, and they came to many different answers on this simple matter of when he was made known, when he became what he was, and here they are, all spread out parallel. Take your choice. Well, now what questions are on your mind up to this point? Yes?
Surely the early Christians must have realized that they cannot have it both ways. If virgin first, then he could not be the son of David.
one or the other, but not both.
Will you repeat that?
He couldn't be both the son of God and the son of David.
Well, not in a literal sense, no. No, and of course, he couldn't be both the son of David and, well, in a way he could, and be born of a single parent, a woman parent, because she wouldn't count. The curious thing is about these family trees is that they trace the ancestry of Joseph.
Exactly, that's what they meant.
Yeah. Well, that's again, you have in the most vivid form what I've been saying, that they thought about these things and came to different answers, and then put down two answers right side by side. One answer says he had Davidic ancestry through Joseph, and the other ancestry is that Joseph was not his father. Because he had no father. By the way, there's a modern Catholic book, Christ, Nobody's Son.
But the prophet said also that he will be the son of David, and he will be born by a virgin.
The prophet said that he'll be a virgin, and also born of David.
Yeah. And when, as an early Christian, you hunt around in the Old Testament, one early Christian will find one passage that will agree with his view, another early Christian will find a passage that will agree with his view. And our New Testament combines, even in one gospel, and much more in all the books put together, the diverse views of Christians, many of them operating similarly with the Old Testament, but drawing different conclusions. I don't know how you could expect these Christians to behave otherwise. They were, but they were so sure of the importance of Jesus that they eagerly accepted any way of expressing in their manner, and their manner was that of the ancient world with prophecy, portents, and all that sort of thing, in expressing in their manner. And so all these things, no matter how much they contradict each other, add up to this widespread and universal glorification of the person of Jesus. And a glorification not based on mere reflections, I tried to say, not just working out ideas, but trying to put into words a first-hand appreciation of him. And then phrase it by phrases and arguments that perhaps were far less truthful and indicative of truth than the thing they tried to underline.
Did the early Christians believe in reincarnation of everyone or just of Jesus?
I don't think they believed in the reincarnation of everyone. The Jews believed that some things had been created before the world was. And one of them was the Messiah. One of them was the law. One of them was an animal named Leviathan. So, and the Messiah was one. Therefore, it was quite Jewish. In fact, many of these ideas, you could get from pure Judaism, I don't mean from the Old Testament, but I mean from contemporary Judaism. Justin Martyr has Trypho tell you what the Jews expected of a Messiah. And the Gospels themselves keep saying, why do the scribes say this and that? You can get a view of what the scribes expect the Messiah. And therefore it's not at all unlikely that once identifying with the Messiah, they should regard him as being pre-existent and taking part with creation. Now there's another Jewish thought that went along. Now that is that God had an assistant in creation. Who helped him? Somebody did. Well, there was a school of Jewish thought that said that wisdom, now wisdom spelled with a capital W, namely a woman named Wisdom, was God's artificer. See, he had the skill of a supernatural architect working with him. Her name was Wisdom. Or the Messiah. Nothing that was made without, nothing that was made without him, what the gospel said.
Henry, when I took this course before, and apparently I flunked it because I'm taking it over again, I remember this story about the genealogy.
It's in the same course, I may say.
Yes. I remember the story about the genealogy, and I think you brought in at the time, there was something about the Jews slipping us in about the women to cast some reflections. Now, I tried to think why Matthew would have done that. Or am I remembering that incorrectly?
Well, I think the situation was this, that these Christians were writing these things and were subject to criticism by the Jews. And the story that Jesus was an illegitimate child was known to Matthew. Now, there are two ways of dealing with that. One is to say he was not an illegitimate child, and the other is to say that even the purest Jewish pedigree of the family of David, David himself was the last irregular marriage in this whole series, his grandmother and then two earlier ancestors. You can have it both ways. You can say a God can overrule irregularities. You can also say that in Jesus' case it was not an irregularity but was a complete miracle. That isn't quite answering your question, but I don't know what would. Yes?
I'd like to go back again to this idea of reincarnation among the early Christians, because I find at least two or three other cases where they refer to it. One is where that Herod, the reference of Herod to that of John, of him being John the Baptist, come back, and also there's a reference close by there where I think at the same time when Peter, when he asked Peter, and he says, some people say that you're John the Baptist come back to life.
Yeah.
Some people say that you're Elijah, and some say you're that other prophet.
Yeah. Yes, evidently. Well, of course, Elijah was a particular case because his death wasn't the normal final death, you may remember. But it would be quite within the realm of reason. But now I don't think that reincarnation, I'm sorry I mentioned that word, I don't think that's quite what's meant by pre-existence. I don't think Jesus had ever had an incarnate life before this one. I think pre-existence means that a person is eternal living spirit, and that at the time he becomes a man, he has had a longer, earlier existence. Now, I don't think other people have had it. Certainly not so glorious as that of Jesus.
Well, there were two questions that I had. One is the church at some point must have adopted the view that Jesus was conceived of the Virgin and of God, mustn't they? Because of the article in the Creed, conceived by the Holy Ghost. When did that come about?
Yes, that's in the Creed, and that is also in the Gospel of Matthew. Joseph is told that she is pregnant of the Holy Spirit.
So that must have been another alternative.
Yes, but is God and the Holy and God and the Holy Spirit, are they quite the same? One very curious thing about the Holy Spirit is that that could hardly go back into Semitic, the earliest Semitic church, because in Semitic, the Holy Spirit is feminine. In fact, one of the old Gospels, the Gospel according to Hebrews, says, my mother, the Holy Spirit, took me by the hair of the head and carried me to a mountain. My mother.
I see, so it might be actually referring to the virgin birth, just as much as...
Well, the other party in the marriage? Well, that certainly would be odd to have two female parents.
Just another way of saying the same thing. I wonder if it was just another way of saying the same thing.
I don't think so. I think that the Holy Spirit operates as God does, not through paternity, but through creating miracles.
That was their way.
And you remember Mary is told that the Holy Spirit will come upon them, the power of the Lord shall overshadow them, which is exactly what it said about the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit came upon them. So the Holy Spirit coming upon you
isn't playing the role of a father, necessarily.